Welcome back, listeners. On this episode, I spoke to Emmy-nominated production designer Paul Cripps and set decorator Kate Goodman about their work on Ted Lasso. Cripps is a three-time Emmy nominee and ADG nominee. Goodman, in addition to her Emmy nomination, is an ADG nominee. Can you talk to me about just your collaboration process? I never get the chance to chat with both the production designer and the set decorator on one Zoom. So just having both on the same chat is just, it's perfect for me. So I would just love to hear about how you both just sort of bounce ideas off each other and then, ultimately get to execution of it.
At the beginning, sort of Paul and I, generally when we read the scripts and see the locations, we sort of sit down and have a chat and sort of see what we think works style-wise in different places for different people. And then, from there, I sort of might go off and start looking for bits and come together with a plan and a mood board and then have another conversation and kind of keep going from there. I don't know what you would say, Paul.
Yeah, it's pretty much that. It's not structured in any way, I would say. We tend to work a bit organically. Some ideas come from me, some come from Kate, some come from other people in the art department. But it's, I think we share taste, both in things contemporary, but also in period and ideas about that. So that helps. And I think sometimes there's a bit of a shorthand between us, don't you think, Kate?
Definitely. Yeah.
Because often Kate will send me photos. What do you think of this? I could get this or this. And I often pick the one that I think she likes as well. So there's a shorthand between us, which I think helps.
Mm. And especially with this season, it really gets so intimate in so many different episodes. And especially with the episode that you're nominated for, Sunflowers, which I absolutely adored. Because one, Amsterdam is just one of my favorite places in the world to go to. How is it executing something like that? And especially that houseboat sequence, which I bet many were probably Googling how to get a houseboat, in Amsterdam immediately after that episode dropped. So I'm just curious, how did you sort of create this sort of new world in an already existing and already so sort of well-established world?
I think that episode for us was really great because I think, there's only so many kind of football changing rooms, like dressing rooms, that you can do. And after a while, it becomes a bit like you're designing the same thing, but it's just a different team in different colors. So to be given the chance to go to Amsterdam and do a completely different world, and also some, environments that we've never really done, or I've never lived on a houseboat. So that was just, it was exciting, really, because it was something new for us to try. I don't know if you agree, Kate.
Yeah, there were lots of, new sets in that episode, and doing research into, all these new sort of spaces, even sort of, the jazz bar and Rupert's everything. It was, there were lots of new spaces to sort of dive into. I think it was really good.
It's a little bit tricky because we had to shoot half the episode in Amsterdam and half the episode in London. So not everything is in London, is in Amsterdam, but we did most of the exteriors because that's what you want to shoot. And then there are elements where they decided quite early on that they weren't taking the whole team. So the scenes involving the whole team, like the hotel lobby, we did in London. And then other elements we did in London as well. And then the stuff that was really intensive important in Amsterdam were like the exteriors of the houseboat. But then we built the houseboat in the studio back in London because we thought it would be much easier to build it than shoot on a houseboat, lighting wise mainly. So the experience of building a set of a houseboat was amazing. And it's just like, but we viewed so many houseboats, or I went on Recce's and I saw so many houseboats, and they were all completely different styles, all beautiful and retro and modern and just incredible. So that opened up a whole kind of world that I'd never kind of designed before, which is lovely. And so that whole set was just a gift for me and Kate. I mean, and because we later, we did the interiors later, we did all the exteriors in Amsterdam first, we got to prop quite a lot. We got to buy props in Amsterdam. We did markets, didn't we, Kate?
Yeah.
And so what were some of those little touches that you guys added to the houseboat to make it, I mean, truly just feel as homey and as lived in as it did?
I mean, and watching it, you can see there's so much character all around the room, and we've got the nice little Dutch houses, and you know, even the your furniture we brought back, and the nice coffee table. There was just lots of lovely pieces that we found, and I've forgotten the name of them, but the tiles, Paul, with the tiles. But yeah, there's these beautiful Dutch hand-painted tiles that you can find everywhere, and we bought loads of those and brought them back. And yeah, it's just a very eclectic, full of life sort of space, really, that was really supposed to feel warm and cozy. And
yeah, we were trying to get the geschelling feel, you know, the Dutch word that Brendan brought into the script. So we were trying to get that into the flat. It's also the guy that Rebecca meets is quite mysterious, but we were allowed to give lots of clues about who he was, which I don't know whether people picked it up during episode 6, but if they'd have rewatched it after, you know, watching episode 12, there were some posters for KLM, some period posters for KLM, and there's little Dutch aeroplanes that we bought, you know, in a street market and stuff like that. So there were clues to who he was and why he might reoccur in the series. But obviously you didn't know that until you'd watched the last one. But, you know, I think there's an element that Jason, you know, wrote little bits in because he knows that people go back and rewatch the episodes. And that's why he really likes callbacks to other series or other episodes and puts them in. Because I think he realized that people do rewatch the series quite a bit. So it was beautiful creating that. And I think they had a really lovely time filming that as well. They had a lovely kind of couple of days in there filming those scenes. So I think that was part of it. Everybody loved that set. It was our favorite and lots of people's favorite from series 6. So I think that helped with the filming of that scene, because it's quite a weird scene that she ends up with this guy, but then, you know, did they sleep together? Did they not? And, you know, and then he just disappears again. She goes off and she disappears and we don't see him again. So I think the environment made it feel safe and made it feel less threatening that a woman on her own was in some guy's houseboat, you know? So I think all that added together to make a really great scene.
Mm. And I mean, having worked on this project now for so many years, I mean, are there any sort of, I mean, like you just mentioned, this is one of your favorite sets that you guys have created together. I mean, what have been some others that are just standouts for you two from this series?
From the series. I think doing all the stuff in Manchester, although we did some of it in London. So doing kind of Jamie's journey was really fun. Doing the hotel in Manchester, which we shot in London, which was an empty hotel that we kind of reconfigured. I think that all that was great. I don't know about you, Kate. Did you have a favorite?
I think finding the stuff for Rupert's office was quite fun. I mean, even just looking for the wallpaper, the search for the wallpaper was...
Yes, that was quite mad. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the sets where I've always said all along, and I've said this in a lot of interviews, that kind of my job, I thought, on Ted Lasso was to keep everything real, you know, to make the environment real so you could believe the story. And then the kind of the humor or the parody or whatever comes from the characters rather than from the set or whatever. But Rupert's was one set where I kind of felt like, because Jason was always talking about West Ham being like the Death Star, you know, and Nate's been taken to the dark side and all this kind of. So I just thought, let's do it like the Emperor's room in the Death Star, you know, and I was allowed to kind of and I said that to Jason. And he said, oh, yeah, that's quite cool. So, I was allowed to carry that on. So that's the one set that hasn't been kind of realistic in a way, but we still made it slightly realistic. I had this idea in my head that his interior designers had designed it like the Death Star, but he didn't know, and he just thought it was cool, you know? So that was what was going on in my head.
I love that. And I mean, what do you guys ultimately take away from this project and from, I mean, just the collaboration that you guys have had over the years? And ultimately, I mean, just as a piece of culture that is out there for the world to sort of hold on to and grasp whenever they need something like Ted Lasso. What do you just take away from the whole experience?
Or you go first, Kate.
I was just going to say that it's got, you know, in the story, but even through the crew, is it's be kind to one another and be caring and listen, you know, and you felt that through most of the series as well, you know, and just giving people some good life advice and things to take away. Yeah, I think that's just the easy,
I think that's very true. It's what Jason said on the last day. He said we'd had such a kind of good experience and a good environment to work in. And he said, you know, this doesn't have to be just for this show. You can take this experience and make it work in other shows. And that, I think that's what we've tried to do. It's not always easy because, you know, people don't work in the same way as he does. But for me, it's also the fact that I've created this entity and it's now got a life of its own. It's like, you know, Believe is on the internet everywhere. Real teams are using it in their locker rooms, you know, and then, you know, you see AFC Richmond on, you know, FIFA, or, you know, somebody's got it on their boots somewhere. It's just like bizarre that something you've been involved in designing has gone out in that and been taken up that much, you know, even just on people's, you know, Instagrams. They just post stuff, and some, you know, people have got back to me with some heartrending stories, and they've, you know, Ted Lasso has helped them get through those periods of their life. And that is just amazing, you know, and to do, just because sometimes you just think it's only TV. It's just a throwaway thing. People watch it at the end of the evening, but then they forget it. But they haven't forgotten this show, and it's really helped some people. And if we can have done, if that's all we've done, that we've helped a few people feel better about themselves, that's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, that's such a lovely thing to take away from the show.
Yeah, I had lots of people that I was talking to, you know, going into the next series, saying how much, especially during COVID and lockdown, and how much Ted Lasso essentially as a series got them through it. And it kept an up, you know, that uplifted spirit in people. There was, I just remember one person specifically said that they were really struggling, you know, and they were having some difficult life choices. And they said, as a show, it was the main, you know, thing that actually sort of kept them in a, you know, mentally healthy space and sort of kept them going through without going into a really dark place. And, you know, you think for a TV show, as we say, to be able to do that is just pretty fantastic, really.
And I think also the recognition for me has really helped, because I've never really been nominated for anything before for any of my shows. So for me, it's amazing. And I think it's been really lovely to share the journey with Kate. And we've done a number of shows since and between Ted. We've done other things and we're now working again together. So it's been nothing but a lovely experience working with her, and she's very talented. You know, so, and that goes for most of the team that have worked with me all the way through Ted Lasso. You know, we're still trying to work together, although we don't always work on the same projects, but hopefully, you know, you catch up with those people. And it's become one of those shows, you get a few of them in your career. I've had a couple of them where you meet people on other shows and you go, oh, you were on Ted Lasso, you know, and it's like a very quick shorthand, and you always, it's always lovely to see those people. There's been a couple of shows like that where, you know, people still meet up and whatever. So it's been one of those shows, I think, and we'll always have that, which is so lovely.
Mm, absolutely. And I mean, what is the next project for you two together?
We're doing World War II. We've gone completely different and we're doing World War II. We're doing the second series of a British series called SAS Rogue Heroes, which I think in the US series one showed on Epics. But we're doing the second series, which is all about the war in Italy. So we're fighting our way through World War II. but we wanted to do something that was quite different, a different period and a different look, because we'd done Ted for 3 years. So I think we were looking for a different challenge.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. This podcast was hosted and produced by yours truly, Jackson Vickery, but a very special thank you to Sterling Gavinsky for the theme music and to Carly Haney for the artwork. We will see you next time.